Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
Dramatically, by the way.
Can I hear what that is? Now?
Yeah, it's August. I mean, it's August, October 19th.
1992.
To Lesson with Ted.
Good. It is a West Montgomery
thing,
yeah. So you can refer to it as just the West dominant, subdominant, or West co-minor thing,
mm-hmm.
or co-dominant, co-minor, right. Any of that. I'll know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's West, we know who he is.
Right,
West,
exactly.
West John Wesley Montgomery.
Right. So, and I'd be taking, just take all the is it V2?
Uh-huh.
V3 and V5 inversions.
And V4.
V4. And just going, you know, 2-5, 2-5, 2-5. Try and work out melodically, you know, and then end up doing a lot of improvising on that.
So you are thinking 2-5 there. That's okay.
I am.
That's one function, but I want you to please do yourself a favor,
mm-hmm.
and remove the 2-5 and every day or week, some period of time, change it, affix new numbers, like 1-4. Same two chords.
A 1 minor to a 4 dominant?
Exactly.
Ah.
That's West.
Yeah, okay, no, I'm into that.
Or especially 5 minor and 1 dominant.
Okay.
That's his favorite. That's his very favorite.
I'm not using it, yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm not, when I said 2-5, I'm not thinking that necessarily I said that, but I'm not only using that on the 5. I'm using it mainly, actually, on the 5, I use it least. I use it much more on the 1 and 4.
1 minor and 4-7.
Right, or 5 minor and 1-7.
Those are the West ones.
Yeah. Those Especially. Two,
he uses others, but those are
mm-hmm.
his favorite.
Yep, those I really work with a lot.
Well, that's great. That's good news.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been really jamming. I spent a lot of, I've been opening up with that first. The problem is I just find myself getting from starting, you know, okay, Mark, what we're going to do, here's my assignment. I will get my guitar. Okay, we're going to go through all the three voicings that I've been working on, and we're going to do these exercises. 5 minor to 1-7, 5 minor to 1-7. Go down each set, string of sets and stuff. And it's hard for me to be, I think you said monochromatic, or hard for me to be without feeling, you know, and just do it on just a technical thing.
You always want to make it musical.
Musically, yes. That's what I end up going. I start out okay. But I go, oh man, this sounds good, and it sort of feels good. Oh, let's just sort of slide into that one up there. Oh, that's good, and then pretty soon, it's like, you know.
Yeah, I can see that, but if you just committed at any moment
mm-hmm.
to staying in the exercise, because you're pretty
right.
sure you need to,
mm-hmm.
but you're bummed about not having fun,
mm-hmm.
it isn't necessarily a mutually exclusive operation.
Right, right, no lie.
You have one other alternative, which is
mm-hmm.
not to go up there,
mm-hmm.
stay in the exercise, but make that musical.
Right. Okay.
For instance, if this is the only thing you're doing one
yeah.
day, where you say at a given moment, I need to program my head to see B flat minor 11. I'll start up high. D minor 11. It's missing the flat 7, but it's close enough, so we hear it as D minor. We hear it as relatively. You hear this. See, I want
That's
to get
cool.
that with its friend G G13 sharp 11.
Can you write me out some of those things so that I could practice?
Sure.
I would love that.
Sure. Now, point is, that's a secondary thing, and I will be glad to do it. But if this is what you're doing, and you say, well, I'm putting it in B now, or say you are thinking too far together, C sharp, minor, and F sharp, and you start to get bored. You're okay the first day, just the excitement and challenge.
Sure.
But by day four, you're just still working on it because you feel that you still don't know it fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice you're bored. Just put rhythm, different rhythm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could dig it.
Maybe go in minor third, change the intervals. Go D, G, B, E. Throw a cool pedal bass below them just momentarily.
Yeah.
The five of the key that you'd be using it for. Mm-hmm. Like when I hear that, I hear the key of E flat about to manifest. Mm-hmm. Like the song Misty.
Right. That's great. That's great stuff. I need to, you know, I need you to help me elongate that, those thoughts. You know what I mean?
Okay. So we'll, instead of writing them, we'll put it on the tape.
How's okay. That?
Or do you prefer me?
I writing? Like it written if possible, for reference. It's not that big a thing, and it leads up into like a getting. You know, I noticed there a minor 11th chord.
Uh huh.
Was that a four-voice chord that you were doing?
Yes, it was. It was missing the flat 7 and the root. I don't like to leave the flat 7 out, because that's usually a note that adds warmth.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then you find out that rules only go to the edges, but they don't go all the way to the end of the border. Because
mm-hmm.
I used to think, wow, that's the flat 7. You will always get a more severe color, like minor chords. Sounds serious, we've discussed that.
Sure.
Because they don't have a flat 7.
Mm-hmm.
Or to put it a different way, flat 7 warms them up. So something they're not a severe sounding at all. That doesn't sound threatening. This sounds kind of like, well, you haven't been around here in church, so you got to say 18 Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And it's kind of serious vibe.
Yeah.
It's not sad, but it's serious.
No, it's stern, firm.
Ted, you've been very, yes, firm.
Yeah.
You've been very bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
They have a reputation ill-deserved for the sadness. Like this 3 minor,
mm-hmm.
this isn't always sad. It could be sentimental,
mm-hmm.
loving, tender-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
Up in this register, it's just sweet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't sad per se.
No.
It could be sad, but sad is like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is grief, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's comparatively speaking. Mm-hmm. So we have... anyway, so 2 fives that are... in the Marx sphere of jazzism.
Yeah, pretty much. Like with 11th, like, okay, we need, in order for it to qualify for 11th. For
generally, we would need, if it's a minor 11, we'd hope flat 3 could show up. He mm-hmm. can be gone with 2 in special cases, but generally we want him there.
You want
minor.
Him there? Yes, okay.
So F in the key for the D minor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't need a 5, but he's mm-hmm. here right now anyway. You want a flat 7, generally.
Mm-hmm.
You want a 9,
mm-hmm.
you want 11, you want all those necessary 4
right.
tones. So this is a D minor 11. Bass part
nice.
Boom,
uh-huh.
root and fifth.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has a certain intervallic hookup
mm-hmm.
because of the fifth interval that
right.
makes it attractive.
Yep.
In fact, there's a triad.
Mm-hmm. Major, down a whole step. Da, da, da,
now if
da.
We do, if we go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely changed its vibe
mm-hmm.
if you hear that as the bass and consider it to be the root.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total different vibe, isn't it, man?
Yep, totally. I understand.
That's the same
now
chord.
You're okay. You're. I see what you're doing.
I'm just for a second trying to show the rainbow
right.
of color that this thing really has
mm-hmm.
in it. But when it meets up with this fair maiden with her modestly good perfume on, she doesn't have her highest grade on
mm-hmm.
at the moment. She does that to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a total perfume chord, meaning.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh yeah.
But she came out for the evening. She's well dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Smelling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
not disappointed to see her at all. She does have her sister there.
Right.
Figure out how to hook her sister up with another fellow.
Right, exactly.
Uh-oh, what are you going to do with the sister now? But sometimes you go, you know, that sister was a lot of fun, man. She did make the night. Maybe I'll call the sister. This is a good note, too. Now it sounds softer edged. This minor is a softer flavor.
With the 11th in the bass?
No, with the root in the bass,
okay.
Or the fifth. Just the fact that this or that now colors our ear so as to occasion the hearing of it as minor. We actually hear it as minor. It sounds like...
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
Before when I went, I shouldn't switch keys.
Same with the third in the bass.
With the third in the bass, unless you've already heard the roots, you can feel that it's D minor, you will hear the third as a root.
Right.
I mean, out of the blue, if you just play... You might, I won't say you will, I'll say you might hear that as a root. You'll especially hear it as a root if you go... Where you treat this functional harmony pedal tone under floating triads, doing little pop music progressions.
I need to do stuff like that too.
It's kind of fun.
I would like to do that. How do we do that?
Motown intros.
God, I bought that stack set.
Oh,
that's cool.
Is that great stuff?
Oh, I heard a tune today by, what's your name?
Carla.
Mabel Davis? Marla Davis?
Is that a late cut?
I think it's a later cut. It's about this man. What is this man taking my time?
Pretty great, huh?
It starts. Yeah, it starts on. We'll just take a little interlude. Starts on the dominant four, goes to the six minor. Okay, which is really cool. And then it goes to the one. Sort of resolves back to the one. But the song starts on as the four, and then it goes right into that six minor. Really cool. Goes to the four, and the bridge goes to the dominant two.
Show me what you mean.
I forgot the melody. Okay,
oh, it doesn't matter. So what key are we in?
Say we're in C.
Yeah.
Because like so, here's the key. Right. So
four dominant, huh? And treats that as a five of another minor.
No, it goes four.
Oh, to the six minor.
Yeah.
Is that you? Yeah, that's a great sound.
There it goes.
Up to the 4-7 again. Back to the 2-7.
Then it goes to 1-4.
That's a nice one. You're getting a nice sound, man. I like your touch. You've really changed your touch
a lot in
the last year. Yeah.
Really?
It gets better all the time. The balance of it.
Good.
Before it was just strong. Now
yeah.
It's also, I don't know, it's more, I hear volume differentiation more in your playing. I hear you.
More nuances. Some,
yeah.
That's
I like
good.
It. I really enjoy you that in players.
That's great. But that was, it was just.
That's cool. Insane. You know, when you want that gospel sound on a one, yeah, I know what you mean.
The chick was telling, the song's about, look, dude, you're hassling me, and all you're doing is taking a slot of where my man is. So you know,
is he away for a while?
I don't know. I forgot the name of the whole, but that was the thing of the vibe. So I'm gone, man. So badass. I showed to Mabel Davis, I think.
If I'm in the right mood, I can really appreciate that stuff. It's a little edgy, but I mean, content-wise, emotion-wise. But sometimes I want that. Man.
Stax was raw. Huh?
Yeah, they were much more raw than Motown.
So what were you telling me about the gospel?
The gospel thing can be brought to life fairly nicely by four ofs, as what you would have formerly called 6-4 voicings as approach chords. For instance, if you're in C, let's get a new. Well, we should be able to get in C. So say you've gone 5 of 6 to the 6, 5 of the 4 to the 4, 5 of the 5. To the 5-11.
I need this.
1. 5 of the 6 to the 6.
5 of the 6 to the
6.
Like, okay.
I'll say it by the home key number. So now I've explained the function that I'm using 5th approach chords, 5 of as approach. And 1, I'll slow it down. 3 dominant 7.
Yes.
6 minor, 1, 7, acting as a
4 to the 4.
The 4, the approach chord to the 4. D7, the bass, is approach to G7, sus.
Yes, I want to go through, I would love to know millions of those types of things.
It's like a...
Yeah, I love that stuff. That's what I play most of the day. I play stuff like
really?
That.
Really? Well, yeah. Cool. So we have the same idea about this.
Yeah.
Those last two things that were more bluesy than the other was gospel soulful,
right.
And this was blue more somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Went downtown more.
Right.
So when that happens, man, it's 4 of as approach. Not necessarily 4-7. It doesn't have to be. That was...
Right. 4-1.
Yeah, on the B flat, I approached B flat 7 with its own
D
4,
flat.
D flat, with a pedal tone, and I approach F 7.
Okay.
So B flat 7, you go, why is that there in the first place? Well, that, in the large Schenkerian sense, is being used as a 4 approach to the F,
okay.
Which we also have its little 4 chord in
right.
A bit.
Mm-hmm.
Use the F 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Back to the C with the 5th of the bass for power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. 5th bass for power, you said.
I believe so. I think when you play...
I know that's a triad, right? That's,
yeah.
Okay,
that's 5th in the bass.
That would be C right there.
That is C.
Okay.
When we play... This has a lot of weight to it.
It's great. Yeah, I get off on that stuff, sort of.
Here's a new key. 5th in the bass.
Okay. Yeah, talk to me about the progression and how we do that.
They had their own vibe. Sometimes they don't use some of that stuff, too.
That's great.
But they definitely were... Those kind of things.
How does that work?
Okay, shall we talk about it?
Yes, let's talk about that. We have the 2-5 thing we're going to revisit.
Yeah,
we're
going to
live all this stuff.
Somehow we got into something more exciting than 2-5.
Yeah, I like that stuff, too.
We grew up with rhythm and blues, man.
That's not that I'm like, putting George, Mr. G to bed or nothing. All that stuff's happened, too. But.
I don't know, man. The R&B end of American music and gospel tinged is just...
Right there.
You can't beat it, man.
Yeah, I love it.
For me, it's just...
For just raw feeling.
It just makes me feel good right away. This stuff, now, I just got to divert for a second.
Please.
Because it's not bad for our nervous system to be able to shift. Major chords are definitely in this. So when you're playing, we don't know whether it depends on the content above it, whether this is church classical music or gospel music.
Right.
It's the feeling behind it. If we don't have rhythm yet, the rhythm is a dead giveaway, usually the groove underneath. But without it, these are just voicings drawn from organ things, because black church, some of these people studied some formal things somehow.
Real sort of sometimes 4-part chorales.
Yeah, a lot of their voice leading and stuff. You might hear this kind of stuff. They just don't stop and do the hymn routines with the cadences of those cycles of 4. They stay away from this. It's too angelic. They're not drinking wine or doing other things that the priest wouldn't approve of.
Right, I can dig it.
But there are certain voicings that they do use, like when you hear...
Yep.
You can feel that gospel people. We're going to talk about all this stuff.
Okay,
right now.
Good.
Here we go. A flat, great key for gospel music, by the way. Just wonderful. Just has the vibe. You can use the enharmonics. C flat could be called B, but I'm going to call it C flat.
Okay.
What I was doing before, I was thinking the flat 3, C flat. Flat 7 is G flat. Just a little triad. 4-1. You might say, well, why would you want to go? Or what made you go flat 3, flat 7, 4-1? It's not a common thing you see on the front of guitar player printout every week.
No.
It's the cycle of 4 of's. It's also not on the cover of the magazine. It should be. It deserves more press.
Right? Uh-huh.
Approaching each chord as if the prior chord is its 4, not its 5.
Okay.
Mr. Berlin, asleep at night, wife sleeping with him. Gershwin saying he's asleep in the middle of the night while they sleep in some place in Harlem. Some younger cat's going,
Irvin, you're cool, bud.
Cool, we like all this. Yeah. The five of us from Europe, it's happy, it's fun, but we need some of that other thing. So simplest way is to compound, to get into that gradually. You're going to end up doing this, okay, sometimes.
Right.
But in order to facilitate your brain's acceptance faster on a deeper level, not because you're good at short-term memory. If I said, just remember, flat three,
short-term.
Flat seven,
an hang over a day,
four, four,
it.
One. Yeah, I'm pretty bad that way, too. I wish I could be better. The fastest way is to start at the beginning, which is to say just 4 to 1.
Okay.
You want to be able to go from a 4 to 1 with the dominant 7 in the second chord or not. It's up to you.
I work a lot in that, just with that.
The compounding of it, what chord's the 4 of the 4, since we're going to use its approach chord?
Would be the flat 7 of the home
that's
key.
That's correct. So if we're in A flat?
It'd be G flat.
That's good. So I'm going to take a G flat triad. Approach the D flat.
With the pedal, huh?
Right. So.
That's great.
If
that's
you change the bass and put the fifth in the bass. All of them had fifth in the bass. It's even all right like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I kind of want this one to not have it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
There was a pop form of music before the Beatles, just the early 60s, where you could hear the bass start to, he wasn't walking, but he was talking for a little while. You'd hear conversational with pauses.
Okay.
So on a fifth and bass chord, it definitely wants to continue moving chromatically or diatonically.
You went up to, what'd you do? You went to the three with the first inversion three. That's cool. I love that. I go there all the time.
Great.
I visit that, and then I visit, go from there to the six.
I like it. So now we're going right to the six, as in... Five,
right,
suspended.
Five sus to one.
Incomplete 5-7 sus would be great that way. D flat 7 or D flat 9.
Right.
Now let's go back to this thing about flat 7.
Right. Sounds like one big sus sound, sort of.
Isn't it something? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
It's almost like this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I hear.
But you really feel the three different functions.
Right.
It's really like the Beatles, get high with a little huff like this.
Right.
It's got that thing. Mm-hmm. If you compound it one step back, what chord will approach the flat 7?
The two.
Right now, you got to be a good boy here and use that
flat
full
three.
Capacity brain. Flat 3, and what will that be in this key?
Here in A flat would be B.
Well, we'll call
C
it
flat.
C flat when it's major. If it's dominant, we'll say B.
Okay.
It's good for your head. You'll see. So here's C flat. Too hard to hold right there.
Very
for the voice
much
leading in that tone. So we put it over on this set of strings.
Okay.
Now we can take the G flat that was there and put it here. Suddenly we have. Maybe I change the voicing and bring it inside.
That's great.
C flat, G flat.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
Right.
This could be a. Dominant four.
Okay.
Right?
Overall about it, okay, we're going through these
four ofs.
Four ofs.
Not fours.
Four ofs.
Fifth. Cycle of, it's actually cycle of fifth, but it's also easy to call them for communication purposes and to hear them. We like to hear them as four ofs,
okay,
if possible. Sometimes you can't, but you can start to hear it as there's an overall thing that it, don't lose your question, okay? It, for me, it carries the moniker of. The second wave of pop music in this century that's important to me as a person. The first wave is an adult wave. They wrote them for adults, by adults. The whole Broadway thing.
Right,
it's not
okay.
for children.
No, it wasn't.
But the second wave is for children.
Right.
In between is the race music, which was just ongoing. It's for everyone. It's for the kids.
Right.
And it's for the adults, too. But primarily, that's also an adult music. When it's been discussed by Ray and other guys. It was adults, for adults, but I feel that it was also kids could get it.
The door, if they wanted to open the door, it was there.
It was there, because it had a rollicking great feel and stuff.
I got Brother Ray, by the way. Oh, my God, I haven't read it yet.
So it's a new, revised, paperback, brand new, right? But didn't it say updated edition?
I didn't even really look at it.
It's like a darker color now, yeah. Right?
The smooth, dark
glossy
color.
Finish. Yep. Like maybe $20 by now, $15, $20.
Yeah.
I'm excited that it's updated,
really?
Man.
It's been around for a while then.
71.
Okay, yeah, it has.
Or 3. You haven't even opened it yet.
I just got it last
this
week.
This is the book.
I got so many great books.
You will never read a better biography than this.
Really?
Like,
tell
me, after you're about 100 pages in it, tell me if you're not just awesomely riveted by this book and you don't even want to go to work or anything.
All
you
right.
just want to read this book.
Because I'm writing The Sound of the City right now.
That's a very fabulous book.
So I got that. I got.
Isn't that a great, didn't he do a good job?
Unbelievable.
A lot of research,
socially.
Huh? I love his
social comment.
Yeah. Isn't
right
he great, man?
On.
Isn't he something?
Right on.
It's the hit book on that subject.
So I got, but I got the Brother Ray with two other books. I have Jazz, New Orleans, The Cradle of Jazz, and the book on Big Bill Boozy.
Big Bill Brunzi.
Brunzi, yeah. I haven't checked it out.
You're such a reader, Mark.
Were
you as a kid, man?
I read, but not massively.
It's, how about your mom or dad? Are they pass it on to you?
Not really. It's just sort of just obsessive, like.
How'd you get it, man? What made you want to read it?
I love music. I like what these guys are doing.
So it was the music.
Yeah, mainly music subject.
Yeah, and I think that's what did it for me.
The subject.
No, I love to read as a kid.
I love reading too. I mean, I have read lots of other novels and other things, but it's just I love music. Oh man, this is great. It's like buying, you know, going to a record store. I went to the New Tower in Marina del Rey. Unbelievable.
Nice selection.
Very nice.
Nice book selection.
Big book selection. Big. But anyway, I want to get back to the fours.
Did you try that store, Bookstar?
Yes, unreal. I blew $160.
Did you notice that where you were facing books and then you turn around and there's plenty more? There's supposed to be a huge one in Sherman Oaks. I'm scared.
Really?
I gotta go there.
That's scary.
I have the dough right now.
I told my girlfriend, she goes Saturday night, oh, look, the new tower's open in Marina Del Rey. You want to go check it? I go, that's dangerous.
It's a great date.
I had to have her drag
though.
Me
I mean,
out of
what
there.
What a great date, though. You say, hey,
cool.
Who wants to go here? Let's go to Tower.
Yeah, I know. I think that's pretty cool.
Right, it's pretty.
Four ofs.
I used to know that I was real pleased with this one girl, but she'd say, hey, you want to go to the bookstore?
Yeah.
I'd say, fuck yeah, that's great.
Cool.
I mean, it was just wonderful that she'd want to go there. Four ofs, so we had a question.
Yeah. We were doing these four ofs where it would be flat 3, flat 7, 4, 1. But with a pedal of the root home key.
That's right.
Just and really, it's but it's really all that, isn't it? Just functioning as a one.
No.
Not.
That's Mr. Shanker showing up at your door, and he's got his Halloween mask on. He says it's all 5-1. What's the difference? You go. You're right. Ray sounds like Bach. Yeah, you can't. You tell they're both in 5-1. No, so, I can't buy it, man. No offense.
We gotta get you on the Steve Allen thing, man. Okay.
How
you
sorry.
And the you and the old guy. We'll put Henrik there. We'll put Henrik.
Oh, Henrik, yeah.
Yeah, Henrik.
I'm going, Henrik, it's a great idea and it works sometimes, but not in those grand harmony cook-offs,
right.
You know. You put Mr. Gordy's chord changes up there on the screen and you put handles, you know, and you go, it sounds like the Messiah to me.
Right. But
it's all the Messiah.
So it's not, I could hear just like, you know, a little intro, bass player jamming on that pedal.
And so when they go,
right, right.
I'm not a food guy. I wasn't born. I mean, I love food, but I don't have enough range. My body won't accept most foods, so I couldn't say all the amazing Greek cuisines this could be, or whatever. Each one's like another completely different food.
Okay.
They're all related, but compared to one, if it's all one, it'd just be with a dominant 7, because giving it that much leeway is the top note saying. So I changed the bass, saying, that sounds like a moving bass under the same chord, or this sounds like...
Okay, I gotcha. So
four
like
four flavors, right?
Yeah, and on a chord chart, you would see that with a pedal.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
see the A-flat
oh,
pedal,
you know
and
it.
You would see that.
You know it.
Okay.
If it doesn't... What made that thing exciting to me was this chord, and right away grabbed
flat
your
three.
Attention.
Birch.
What does it have in the bass of itself, from its own perspective?
Well, what is that now?
This is flat 6. We'll call it E instead of F flat. We'll start to
with the fifth in the bass?
Yeah, 5 in the bass sounds exciting.
It does.
Here's flat 3. Remember how... Now, by the way, flat 6 is the last chord in the chain as a 4 of. That's
Right.
2, 5. You start to get with flat 6, flat 3, flat 7, 4. Takes a while.
Gotcha. No, I hear. I see it.
Great. So flat 6, we'll call it E for now. So here's E.
You did flat 3, flat 6, flat 7.
Oh, no, so it's flat 6. So you want to build up gradually. You could do it now, but again, for long-term memory, get deeply into the idea that flat 7 is the chord that is to 4 as 4 is to 1.
Okay.
Which means that as a label, we say it's 4 up.
Mm-hmm.
For short, we just say flat 7, and we know why it's there. It's acting like a 4 up. It feels like it because it sounds like it. It's doing to that what this is doing to that.
Okay.
Four is the strongest move, I think, there is for American sound. It's just the most solid American sound. Five is a strong candidate, too, but it says...
Why do you think that's that way?
What, is it a five?
Yeah.
Five has its European antecedents, and our, I believe our gene pool is possible. I'm not sure, Mark, because I don't know science, but by now, maybe there's something genetically in the country that was absorbed through the organism that's passed on.
Really? Physically?
Yeah. It could be because what happens is, in this country, and by all people who've accepted this, the blues, and it's blue, just the Afro-American influence, you know, hearing this A, a form, B, especially a coloration, it seems to be so universally liked in this country, and again, in other places. How can this be? Why is it like, it's a foreign sound. This is just a minor note, but you put that sucker in here, and you get the second wave I was mentioning before. It's young. It's the youth music. It just has a younger vibe, man. And you have this four up thing. It's just compounding the idea that four is the solid thing. It's almost like a separate thing that's part of the same picture. Four is America's chord.
That's good. Four is America's chord.
It is, because the five is Europe's chord. When you go, this may sound like America, but it's really from Europe now. And they go, their first move in sonata form is the key area of the five. You know? And their whole thing was all those... They're 5/1 4.
Right.
They use some fours, but you know, like 1/20th is often something, and then that's too much. 1/10th, whatever. It's very infrequent comparatively. Yet much more frequent than practically anything else. Like 5/1.
I don't understand why not, because four is so groovy.
It is groovy. Well, to us, because we're Americans, we might be coded differently, wired up differently by the big surfer, man. You know?
Leo is like maybe in a previous life was hanging out.
Yeah, Leo's going, hey, man, I got to keep cats playing this slab thing in their homes. Keeping them occupied because they'll be happier.
Okay, so...
That's America's sound, man.
Right,
four,
no
four.
Doubt.
Whereas if I do with a five and go... That could be even continental music. You could go and find an accordion player.
Sure.
You don't say, oh, gee, how American of you. But if he goes... So you go, wow, I wonder if this cat's been on the other side of the planet. Or, you know?
He's been down a little deep. He opened up that cookie jar. He opened up that cookie jar with that stuff you're not supposed to touch. You know?
So, go out, thine heathen, only with women of same skin color.
Yeah, so what do you recommend as far as, let's say, for me getting friendly with these?
Start in the key of F, G, A flat, B flat, C, and E flat. Those are the most common gospel keys to start with. You say in alphabetic order: A flat, B flat, C, maybe D, E flat, F, and G. So let's see which ones are flats: A, B, E, and that's it. A, B, and E. The others are naturals.
Okay.
Start with those keys first. I guess that's seven keys. You could leave out D. It's not common for gospel. F is super common. I say F is the most common gospel key. Running a close second would be B flat and A flat. Get down in those keys first. Any one of those three, whichever you're in the mood for on a given day. Learn how to do this four-on stuff to a
dominant 7 on the 1.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to compound it.
Okay, then so, to compound it, I would just go back one further and have a flat 7. Mm-hmm.
That's right. There are two ways to compound it for now are keep the same bass note down or take the whole unit that you used for 4 to 1 and say, oh, that baby lives here. But don't do that after you've done the first thing. Like, block out the sound in your mind, like erase
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go into some other key for a moment.
Because
mm-hmm. you have to go in reverse order. You got to
right.
come in from this to that.
Right.
And then resolve
that. Sure, sure.
Because if you do it the other way, it sounds like you've modulated
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, okay, yeah, so I could be jamming for a little bit.
In G now.
Okay.
So the flat 7 on top of the 4 bass of the mm-hmm. key to the 4 dominant 7.
Mm-hmm.
To the 4 on top of the
okay.
1 bass to the 1. That's.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds that way. Voice lead with different. Remember, position of the
oh,
third,
yeah.
position of the
yeah,
fifth.
Yeah, I know, sure.
Try all positions
okay.
in that sense.
I've been working in that area with triads, 3 and 4 notes.
So here's your bass line. This is your key. Now, for me, it's weird. I feel like we need to go one more chord, something like we're really in D.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a late 60s progression. It's silly, man, to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is really the key.
Right, right. Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah, lots of rock tunes like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like America's Young Color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love that flat 3. I noticed that flat 3 in some of the stack stuff. They went to that flat 3.
Yeah, knock on wood.
I'm starting, you know, at least what I'm starting to do is start to listen, think in those terms, Ted.
It's great. It's great.
Is that the way to
really
go?
Got, oh, God.
Yeah.
So you're ready for any key if you know your keys.
Yeah.
So now what we're doing here is pedal tones.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind you. All over the same. Flat
mm-hmm.
6, flat 3,
mm-hmm.
flat 7.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it gets to the 4, sometimes I like to shift the pedal down to the bit. Fifth
okay.
of the key instead of the root. Again, different positions, not fingering positions, just position of the top soprano,
okay.
different triad forms.
You don't have any papers on this?
Should write out one simple thing.
One.
You know what? It's good for you guys to think. It's not easy. This is a subject where you can get lost fast.
I understand.
Because you're not used to saying, ooh, flat 6, flat 3, flat 7. 4, 1, but remember to start simple. Start with just 4, 1,
mm-hmm.
and flat 7, 4, 1,
right.
and flat 3, and compound it slowly. Also, try to get your brain to stop and say, 4 of, because that's the other
right.
way to learn to hear. It's good for your ear training. Say you're in G and you say, wow, way back in the cycle, E flat
mm-hmm.
is the 4 of the B flat 7,
mm-hmm.
B flat is the 4 of the F.
Right.
The F was the 4 of the C,
mm-hmm.
which is the 5
right.
of the G.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, I understand. And I think it's good. You mention this a lot. You know, I think, you know, you tell me that it's, and I agree. Let me figure it out. It's important. Sometimes I do need examples because sometimes I'll walk away thinking I got it. And then even with the tape, I'll walk away and I go, no, figure out, I go, what?
Well, we're saying it. I've said it about
okay.
five,
yep.
six angles,
yep.
so I know...
You feel pretty good about it.
Well, I feel this, that any one of them can at least get you in there.
Okay.
You could follow, you could stop the tape from...
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean this in an arrogant way, I just
right.
mean it in a confident sense. That
okay.
You could begin or stop the tape in the last 20 minutes anywhere, and within a few seconds, maybe
sure.
if we're lucky...
Pick
just,
up on it.
You just start going, wow, I see what...
Okay.
It's good to go in order the way we did.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I was doing some of these other things... I was putting other bass notes under, like under 7 G now, under a flat 3, you might have its own 2.
That's interesting.
You can have a 9 in the bass
right.
on some chords because it gives you an 11th chord with such a
right.
great sound.
But 9 could be a bummer sometimes too, right?
9 could be a bummer if you hit it where you expected a root or a third
mm-hmm.
or a fifth. But as a passing tone in the home key itself,
mm-hmm.
feels good. It feels
super.
Frankly, it hits the ear like what it is not. Let me say it right. Like what it is, but not what we were thinking of it as.
Mm-hmm.
If we were calling that flat 3 with a 9 in the bass, that's not how the ear perceives it. The ear perceives it as a 4.
Four.
It hears it.
And how
have me use a chromatic move from here to here to set it up, because this triad sets up that triad on the top.
Okay, what was, that was just a 4, but with a 6 on it or something you used?
Check it out. This is flat 6 of home to flat 3 with its 9 in the bass. Then I switched right over to 4 to 1. 4 then, with its 9 in the bass.
9, okay, that was it.
Then 1.
Okay.
Straight major or an add 9.
Yeah.
To keep it contemporary. Here's the Motown thing, is to bring in
okay.
Sometimes progressions like that.
Sure.
On the same bass note, sure. Same small. If you did that chromatically, what a different sound.
Oh, it's yeah.
Chromatic major triads, right? You've heard that.
You're just never chromatically moving down. It's like I'm so glad, you know.
Never could say goodbye, or I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad it's different because it doesn't have a pedal tone.
Yeah,
it's
that's
more,
true.
It does, but it doesn't. It doesn't have. Because you know why you hear the upstairs, whatever he's doing? The effect is.
That's nice.
Which means we have E7, E diminished 7, A minor. More sauce in there.
Ah, yeah. One diminished, 4 minor.
Yeah. Like if you put all 4 voices in there and go.
Yep. Add 9. Yeah. 1 add 9. Yeah. I do those exercises too. I like them. I love them, man. I end up jamming a lot on those.
Somebody, you know, if you keep going to these stores and trying all these things, somebody's going to offer you a playing job or something. Somebody's going to notice. Does anybody, doesn't everybody sometimes look
over
at you and go, what? Oh, man, you're playing pretty nice stuff there.
That guy that knew Bill Thrasher was by again this week. He's a musician, I heard, but he didn't tell me what he played.
This was, now you've lost me already.
He was the one.
In a certain store or something?
One, several months ago, I was practicing like Friday night late. And I heard a knock on my door and he goes, you know Ted Green?
This was some guy and his woman or something?
Yeah. And he's in his 60s, you know, he knew Bill Thrasher. I saw him anyway this week.
What's his name?
I don't know. I forgot. But,
He just knocks on your door, huh?
Yeah, he stops by now because his relative is my manager. He goes, you playing around town yet? I go, no, man, just practicing, having a good time. But I have a question. I mean, another additional thing.
Okay, so let's leave this now. You got enough gospel
for
now. Let's not forget next time to draw on the diatonic thing a little more. Because tonight we flavored out with that blue, young Motown hyphen blue area.
Okay.
But there is that whole other end, you know, where you're in the key and you say...
Yes. Curtis.
Curtis, right.
I love him. I do I do a version of People Get Ready.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do that now.
So we'll just discuss it. You may know all the stuff about it already,
I
but
don't
there might
think
be some little. No, it's not much to know there.
I
so
had
pretty straightforward.
I had questions. Some questions. I finally got the Impressions Greatest Hits, although they're coming out with a box set.
So this was a single CD. It has quite a few, not everyone.
LP.
Oh, an LP.
Yeah.
Is it the blue cover?
Yeah.
The light blue one?
Yeah.
You found it somewhere.
Record Surplus.
Good for you, man.
Great place. Killer place.
It's not in terrible shape.
It's good shape.
$10 these days?
I think five or six bucks.
That's a great price, Mark. It's like someday that album could be worth $100.
I got, you know, that Bill Evans From Left to Right in good shape for $8 there.
That's a tough, hard to find record, man. Record collectors would pay you probably $100 if it was in mint or something.
I don't know whether it's mint. I should bring it in sometime, have you look at it.
I'm not a good judge, but your eyes in daylight would be... Anyway, you don't want to sell it because it's a great album.
Oh, yeah, that's music for me.
Bequeath it to your heirs, man.
But, People Get Ready. They do it. I like how they do it. It's much more joyous. You know, it's nice when I listen to Rod.
He wrote it.
Yeah, I know.
Does Rod just kind of do a growling version?
Rod does it great too.
Beck does the job, huh?
Cool job, real cool job. But of course, the video, you know, has him on a train, getting him out. And there's a hot-looking chick sitting down. You know.
Oh, this is Jeff, huh?
Yeah, and Rod.
And Rod.
And yeah, I thought, when you listen to the impressions, man, you hear, you think about, yeah, get on that train, man. There's God here, and you know, sinners are not invited. You know, I forgot the, you know, the exact words.
There's no room for the hopeless
sinner, right?
Trying to bend abroad, but something about, he's still saying, but you know, if you what, if you straighten out, fly right, man, just
yeah,
on boards, you know.
Right, but it was much. Their song, the way they do it, is much more joyous, up more. You know, and so I'm trying to, I'm playing it more like that.
Get the little goosebumps thinking of it, because there's little bells and stuff in there and things,
now,
you know.
Now,
it's really
Curtis's,
spiritual, man.
Curtis's fills between the two things
aren't
are really gems.
Man? That's the stuff that is pre-Hendrix that you can tell where Little Wing came from.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like directly.
Yeah, Jimmy took
there.
It and just sort of made it a little more brokey.
Yeah, he went with it.
But his fills, I got to figure them out more. I was thinking I should cop them. That would be good exercise. I spent a couple minutes listening to them a couple times. But yeah, that whole area, you know, I was going to ask when I heard, went through this thing, God, I should talk to Ted and talk to him and see what his views are on embellishments, on triads and seventh chords, and how those guys are doing that, some of this stuff, you know.
Curtis plays with his thumb
mm-hmm.
in the right hand.
Okay.
He plays... He really strikes a lot of strings. That's the main thing in his style. He seldom plays one note. He's
right.
Almost always on at least
right.
two.
He gets a big fat tone too. Boy.
He might do. He does a lot of hammers on it.
Right. I remember that one. On the
he's
fifth.
Got those kind of things. And then when he's
the octave,
he might hit the suspended chord. His guitar's in a different tuning too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's.
He always tuned it funny to a chord, he said he found as a kid. So it's hard to exactly duplicate. It's like Albert King. You find out he's tuned in a different tuning.
Albert plays
Collins,
in a real weird one, don't
both
he?
The Owls play in a weird tuning, man. And
Albert Collins was in town. I wanted to see him at the Strand. They had a tribute to Eddie Hendrix. I almost wanted to go, but it was 40
wow.
bucks.
40 bucks.
Lou Rawls, Al Green. I mean...
Good singers.
Great stuff, but... So
40 bucks. How you were smart, unless you were so madly in love.
Yeah,
with
that's.
Somebody told me Jerry Butler was in town not too long ago.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, no, I have a couple of his albums too.
Well, he was had a voice, man. He's the first lead singer of the Impressions
mm-hmm.
when they start their original style that has that.
You know, they're coming out with box set Impressions box set.
I heard Rhino's going to do it, right?
And Curtis Mayfield.
Can't wait. Well, he's in on the action.
Yeah, he's well. They have two of them, I think. There, I read. Did you get the new Goldmine?
You know, I couldn't. I went out looking for the one with the B.B. King, and I got two others. I mean,
so
two.
B.B. King box.
There was one.
It's not
that,
out yet.
No, but I mean, didn't you tell me this one issue that had a thing on a B.B. King? And I looked through two current Goldmines that next day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. So I said maybe it was just like a week ago. Mark got it a week late, and it's like three issues back or something. Is that possible?
Well,
could you ever bring it to a lesson so I can see it?
The new Goldmine, let me say this.
Well, okay. A new one I'll just go get.
Yeah. The new one has, let me just put this.
If I could have sounded and been in one band, this
wow.
was it for me. I liked him the most. I think I was more stunned by Chuck Berry
mm-hmm.
than I was more astonished by the deep tone of Duane Eddy's guitar. I wanted Duane's tone more than anything in the
really?
World. His tone was the deepest, richest.
He played a hollow body, didn't he?
He plays that big Gretsch.
Yeah.
It's a hollow, no wood inside.
Mm-hmm.
And his amp was made by a hi-fi guy, especially for him. He took a Crown or a Macintosh
wow.
and made it into a guitar amp.
Wow.
I just read about that in the newest guitar player, Ry Cooter discusses it, which would explain. Because I used to hear that and go, nobody's guitar sounds that
uh-huh.
like that. Because I had the 6120
wow.
and mine wouldn't sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player and just sitting home grinning, I think I heard Bo more than anybody. I used
really?
To sit and play Bo.
Just what? His phrasing?
He's funny.
Yeah.
His tone is wild and greasy. Man, he plays these wild, crazy, greasy tones up here with both pickups on with those
mm-hmm.
same D'Armonds
mm-hmm.
that Duane was using. Down here, he gets this real wonderful nasally quality out of his bottom strings. He almost always has the tremolo on the amp on, which makes it extra
mm-hmm.
rhythmic. His rhythm sections sometimes are just so hypnotic, just
mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's intense music, but sometimes it's real relaxed, and they'll say, oh, look at here, your process don't take a reset. He's just the funniest guy.
You'll
have to see.
I'll check.
Listen to, let me recommend, in case you're in a hurry, which songs to start with. You want to hear Bo Diddley, but before it's even over, unless you're madly in love with it, go right to Hey Bo Diddley.
Okay.
It'll be the ultimate party song without any anger, you know?
Okay.
Just stunning. And I used to come on at parties, man. I was like backed up against the wall, man.
It was
like,
knocking you out, huh?
So much. Then you want to check out Bring It to Jerome. It's on here. Listen to the hypnotic thing. It's one other rhythm that people don't know from Bo. It goes, just like a Chicago blues
right.
He just keeps doing it. The whole song is one thing. You go, well, you can't go much farther with this. Stop it now, Bo. By your head. He does it, man. You just don't get tired of it. It's amazing. Listen also to Roadrunner.
Is that I'm a Roadrunner, baby? Is that the boot?
And You Can't Catch Up With Me? It's not the one. You've heard Junior Walker. That's a great cut.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a... I'm a Roadrunner.
Right.
It's all... No, it's a completely different song. You'll see. This is really good.
Now, wasn't he down... He was a New Orleans guy, wasn't he? Or something?
Crawdad. You got to hear Crawdad.
He was a New Orleans guy, wasn't he?
No, he's Motown. Sorry.
Motown?
Bo... Or you don't mean Bo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Bo is Chess Records, born in Mississippi.
Okay.
There's
up north.
The Chicago School of Rock and Roll, that was really rhythm and blues, is Chuck Berry.
Right.
Bo Diddley. Then over on the blues camp, got Muddy Waters, Little Walter. Hard to categorize would be, who's the guy I think about sometimes? So he's not like, well, Bo, it, rhythmically, is his own thing, but there's just one guy for Chess.
Elmore, I mean, blues guy or?
Jesus Christ. It'll come to me. Chicago stuff was either blues, electrically, blues, or they called it rock and roll. I mean, Chuck Berry was called rock and roll, but a lot of it feels like rhythm and blues with rock lyrics maybe or something. I don't know how to say what it is. Bo Diddley, man, that is jungle.
I'll check
music
it out. I really appreciate that.
Oh, sure. This is like, how do I say? This is rhythmically, like there are five schools of R&B. Do we just go? I don't think we did by geography.
Not really.
Pre-Beatles. Here's how it works. You got Chicago is the sweet one for rhythm and blues. Now, I'm going to call Chuck rock and roll and leave those guys over there. And Stone Blues is blues, not rhythm and blues.
Right.
Jimmy Reed. That's what I was trying to think of. Jimmy Reed. Jimmy Reed is...
Love him, too, man. Upside Against Your Head. Upside Your Head. That's cool, isn't it?
Isn't it wonderful?
Ah! You know, do it solo guitar, too. It's,
And it's really slow blues. It's the sexiest blues.
It is.
It's great, man. Jimmy Reed.
I love him.
Actually, that's... I think of all my guitar records I used to play at the most, man.
The way he sings, he's just like...
You ever heard him do
lazy.
Big Boss Man?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's tuned down a half step.
Really?
Check the intro for Big Boss Man. You gotta hear this. It's worth tuning down to get this.
He didn't look too long either, huh?
I think so. Well. It's really worth it just for this
one. Sure, please.
I don't know if you hear that sound.
That's sweet.
Octaves, duplication. Then he goes.
That's a nice bass line.
Is that cool, man?
Yeah, it is way cool.
It's two guitar players. Eddie Taylor plays the low parts, Jimmy plays the high parts.
Okay, you just put them together?
So, yeah, it's not that difficult at all.
Right. Yep.
I didn't do a good job on it now, but I caught the vibe.
Right.
I screwed up a couple of notes. It's really supposed to be... It's so hard to do it exactly, because you want to go... Sometimes, especially at that tempo, at that...
You're supposed
to go... Some of them are with a hammer on and everything.
Right. Do you ever, when you play or when you practice, have you ever... Just specifically work with the right hand. I mean, you have, like, say,
only
technically.
Only now and then when I really feel deficient or I notice I'm into something that's, I'm on a roll, no pun intended, and I say, you should work on these rolls or something because it's happening, man.
Right.
You should develop.
You got to technically, approaching it sort of like in a classical sense. When I mean that, I mean study the pedagogic sense or the studying. You know how they do it.
Yeah, I wish I could force myself to do more of it because I always get benefit, but I tell you what, man, it's hard because the music draws me more than the chops, and usually the chops manifest through the music if I have to play something that does.
Is that how, that's sort of how I'm doing it now, man.
It's okay.
You know, and in the left hand too, that's okay?
All left hand. I mean, after I learned to play some chords, man, I never did much left hand studying anymore. It's just musical study. Let's try a concept. Pedal tones.
Right.
Inside of tense.
Now you're going to get technique from that, just from the very nature of playing it.
You said it, man. That's my theory, too, that I noticed, not because I was scientific and set out to prove it, but observationally afterwards, you say, hey, the fingers look like they're doing a better job than they were before.
You don't go, well, yeah, this exercise is to increase your baseline, linear baseline.
You could do it, man.
Left and right hand. Or
you could get the big corporate fake out and get the endorsement if life worked like that. But this one is meant to facilitate the application of the primal inverted 14th mordant chord. You see, when you have the flatted parochial 11th, it's not too far to the fermented 5th.
Right, and so you could explain that when you're on stage, right?
Oh, crazy, man.
Oh, interesting.
It's a milestone.
Okay.
It'd be fun to fool somebody just temporarily, and you go, you know, this was meant to facilitate the oxbow incident.
Yeah, right.
You know, between the joints, there's this oxbow incident that the theremin talks about. I'm looking at the theremin. Oh. Wasn't that a music word? Finally, they'll get it. If you do enough of those Professor Irwin chords where you say the wrong word, you'd be good at it, Mark.
I'm a great bullshitter.
I'm not a great bullshitter, but it's fun to weave a little, and I don't think you are either, but I mean, we're both, it's just...
Yarns, I call them.
Benevolent, misconceptions,
right,
for temporary amusement until discovered, and then
exactly. I don't mean taking somebody down the wrong road.
I know.
But yarning, well,
yarning.
You know, sailing. I used to sail a lot, you know, and hang out with sailors, and they know how to yarn a pretty good yarn.
How big was that fish?
Yeah, right. It goes back with fishermen. So
if you want to play Big Boss Man, you play A, open triad,
right.
Then you double this inside E down here, thicken it up. So now you have
okay. And with the fifth of the bass.
It ends up being that.
Yeah. I have another question once we...
I understand. You're good at remembering your train of thought because you've had it for a long time already. Taking you down, Lee Dorsey.
That's cool.
Jimmy Reed. I got to finish the five schools of R&B.
Yes, that's true too.
One of them is school in the sense of like a person to school.
Weren't they schooled because of the record labels or sort of?
Partly, yeah.
Because of
that. Demographics or circumstantial.
Right. At least that's what some of the reading I'm doing. Yeah, so you said Sweet in Chicago.
Yeah, the Chicago thing. As far as rhythm and blues goes, is more often than not associated from a lot of us with that Curtis sound. Because he produced and wrote the tunes on a lot of those other artists like Major Lance.
Oh, yeah, love it. Love it. I love him.
Yeah, I remember you telling me
that rhythm. Cool. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, rhythm. That song, Rhythm. That's a great one.
Cool.
How about the Matador? Have you caught the Matador?
Right.
And the one that goes,
Yeah.
That's a good one. Right. That's the name. Oh, hey, David. Probably not bothering me, man. Just hope you're okay. Oh, okay. I'll give you a phone number.
Voila.
For the rhythm and blues schools of the pre-Beatle era, in the decade of the 60s, not the 50s raw, Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry kind of race rocking, let's do it all night kind of sexual rhythm and blues. It's a different era, although a lot of it's still sexually oriented music. It's much more diverse suddenly in the 60s. You've got your soul or sweet gospel vocal based kind of stuff, which centered around the vocals, right from that late 50s.
Right.
I should do it in this key now. Some people get ready. I'm doing the wrong one. It goes, we'll get this thing in tune, hopefully. Gotta get better tuners. I was gonna show you Big Boss Man too. We're gonna finish these thoughts.
Okay. I still got mine. It's implanted, I'm telling you. I'm not gonna leave the room
without
saying it.
2 hours after all tonight.
Yeah, right. I can't leave without saying it. Ask or asking it.
When you hear. You just over it. Get that shot.
Right.
It's this song called For Your Precious Love.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these voices come in. It's impressions with Curtis, but Jerry Butler's an additional member. He's singing lead.
Mm-hmm.
Astonishing voice.
He is. I've heard him.
So you might even have heard this cut, For Your Precious Love. Your precious love. Deep male voices. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And some people call that one of the first, if not the first, soul song. I don't know about that. It's just doo-wop to me. But it's in Chicago.
That's the one.
That's
great tune. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
The guy's got a plaintive voice, a pleading voice. There were a lot of songs like that before, but just the fact that it was Curtis, some people have mistakenly maybe called it soul. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think a soul is a buoyant rhythm in music.
Mm-hmm.
A few ballads. People get ready to use that. So then you move over to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Motown. Now, Motown started out as a gritty sound. Bye Bye Baby, Mary Wells' first hit is real rhythm, which you would never in a million years suspect it's Mary Wells.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, man. It's just the rowdiest cut.
Mm-hmm.
They had songs like Money.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the original Money when you were a boy?
Mm-hmm.
1960? Were you listening to stuff? Didn't you hear?
That's cool.
I like had this, and the bass went. I'm going to play the bass for you separate. Purposely did not syncopate it the second time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can pull this off.
Wow. That's so cool.
Isn't that amazing, man? When I was a kid,
Hemiola sounds like or something.
Almost, man. There's something going on. Well, it's a habanera rhythm.
Mm-hmm.